Timon is ostracized because of the political fiasco over the assistance sent to the Spartans. Pericles' senior colleague, Ephialtes, who may well have been the brains behind many of the reforms, we just don't know, was assassinated shortly after Timon was ostracized under mysterious circumstances. The usual story is that an enraged conservative went after him. And Pericles was left at a comparatively young age, that is in his early 30s, which is young for a political figure in the Greek world, as the undisputed leader, and his commanding power of speech. He's often known as Zeus Pericles, and he's because he had a thundering voice, but his ability to stand in the assembly, which met on the Pnyx, and project his voice and be heard in this huge crowd, which could be quite boisterous and really a very, very difficult group of citizens to convince. Pericles would hold this position for almost 30 years. And when Thucydides came to write about the Peloponnesian War, the Great Peloponnesian War, the Pericles he saw, the Pericles he remembered, is the Pericles at the height of his power. In the 450s, at the outbreak of the First Peloponnesian War, there were other political figures in Athens. Pericles was establishing his position. To be sure, he was prominent. But everything the Athenian assembly voted in the 460s and 440s did not necessarily represent Pericles' policy at all. And we have to constantly remember that in Greek city-states, the citizens really do vote their own destinies. And while a figure such as Pericles could propose something, it hardly meant that it would always be accepted, even though Thucydides has this almost at times romanticized vision of Pericles' position. So I mentioned that the war was fought as a sideshow by the Athenians, and that is because there was still no peace with the Persians. Despite the victory over the Eurymedon in 467 or 466 BC, war continued with the Persians. If anything, that victory allowed the Athenians and their allies to take the offensive against the Persian Empire. That meant fleets of Athenian and allied vessels each year sailed east to the island of Cyprus and began to support rebellions erupting within the Persian Empire. These included rebellions in the Phoenician cities, and above all, in 459 BC, a great rebellion raised in Egypt by a figure known as Inaris, a rebel pharaoh, a member of the Libyan military elite that had dominated the military positions in Egypt since the early Iron Age, since the 10th century BC, and staged rebellion in lower Egypt, that is in the northern Egypt, seizing the White Tower, the fortress of Memphis, and raising the standard of rebellion that spread through the Nile Valley. Persian rule was particularly resented and hated in Egypt, and so the Athenians were constantly at war with Persia in this very period that they're fighting the Spartans. So it's necessary to keep this point in mind, that this so-called First Peloponnesian War, fought by the Athenians against the Spartans and their allies, was probably half the time, at least, if not more, the secondary theater. Maybe not what Pericles wanted, but certainly what the Athenians could afford to do. And the reasons for this is the Athenians took the initiative immediately. They had control of the Megarid, so a Peloponnesian army could not invade Attica. And immediately the war became a naval war. The only way the Peloponnesians could challenge Athens' control of Megara was to launch a fleet. And unfortunately for the Peloponnesians, their first effort at taking on the superior Athenian navy ended in disaster. In 459 BC, in the Saronic Gulf, that is in the very home waters of the Peloponnesian League, off a town called Kerkephalia, the Athenian fleet soundly defeated the Peloponnesian fleet, landed forces on the island of Aegina, and put the city of Aegina under siege. The Aeginetans were eventually forced to surrender, and the Athenians took over Aegina, enrolled the city as a member of the Delian League, paying 30 talents, tore down the walls, imposed a democracy, and stripped the city of its fleet. Now, this was a real affront to the Spartans. Aegina was an ancient Dorian ally, one of the four key naval powers. Themistocles, Pericles, many an Athenian statesman had called the city the eyesore of the Piraeus. The Athenians now controlled this vital island, and it's a position they would not give up very readily. So without Aegina and without that strategic island in the Saronic Gulf, the Athenians were free to circumnavigate and raid the Peloponnesian shores, which they proceeded to do in the following years.